Hello, it's Melissa Hamilton, your host of the Brave Feminine Leadership podcast, and it's just me today. I hope you're well. I just wanted to share with you today a blog that I wrote about a subject that resonated so strongly with people. And the title of it was called My Job Would Be Fabulous Without My Leader, Navigating Toxic Leadership. I had so many sources of inspiration for this blog. I just have the absolute pleasure of coaching some incredible senior female executives. And the stories that they share with me, you know, like we sit there in disbelief sometimes at some of them, but they're very real. And I think the feedback that I got after I shared this blog was very real. So I mean, let's kind of step through this. So, you know, I guess the key question I was asking in the article was, do you work with a leader who blocks access to other senior resources and insists that all information must be channeled through them? Or perhaps you're dealing with a leader who constantly shifts priorities and dives into the minutiae of tasks and leaves you feeling overwhelmed and directionless and kind of carrying everything. Then there's the leader who never provides feedback. So, you know, you might get the occasional good job or something along those lines, but leaving you in the dark about your performance. Or the one who hoards knowledge, like it's the key to the kingdom, and hangs on to it and clings to it as if it's going to continue to deliver them power and validation and relevance in their role. These leadership archetypes can actually make work feel like a never-ending struggle. But there's actually some strategies to cope and thrive with this. So a little bit tongue-in-cheek as we go through here, but the actual subject itself, very real. So let's start with the gatekeeper leader. So this is the type of leader who insists that all information and resources flow through them. So they create a bottleneck in the organization. It's like trying to get into an exclusive club where the bouncer won't let anyone in without their say-so. And I think there's three things that I would say for people who are dealing with a gatekeeper leader. The first one is to make sure you've built relationships right across the organization. So foster connections right across with other senior leaders and colleagues and really invest in your own network. Seek alternatives. So if your gatekeeper's created these bottlenecks, like can you explore alternative channels for information and resources so that you're not relying solely on your leader and you can stay connected with the organization's core strategic priorities, which I reinforce time and time again with people. Always, always, always have real clarity on what you're doing in the organization that adds value directly to the company strategy. And then the last one is, you know, let's try and have these conversations. So go and talk to your leader for a really open conversation about maybe you can decentralize access to some of the resources for the team's benefit. Can you think of two or three examples that might add value and then bring them up with the leader? So that's that type of leader. The next leader, the priority juggler. This is the one who is constantly shifting priorities and they're diving into the minutiae of tasks and they can leave you feeling completely overwhelmed. So it's like trying to keep up with a hyperactive meerkat who's on a caffeine binge. Here's how to handle them. You know, I think the first thing is to clarify expectations. So set really clear expectations and priorities up front to minimize confusion and to ensure alignment. The number of times I say to people, create your own one-page plan. And then sit down and agree it with them. Keep it handy so that as your priorities are shifting, and they might, right? That's just part of business and life and responding to the market and all sorts of things. But if you've got that information there, then you can actually really check in which ones are low priority now or which ones can stop because they're no longer relevant. So don't assume that everything they ask you to do is still a top priority. I remember getting feedback from one of my team years ago when I was in the CEO role that I could stop and have an innocent conversation with someone as I was walking past and they'd ask my opinion on something. And, you know, I would offer what I thought. And I remember the person in my team coming to me and saying, stop, 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 stop. Every time you go past and they ask you, they stop doing what I've asked them and they immediately divert their focus and attention to what you've asked them. So, you know, these conversations go both ways. I had some, really brilliant executives, super happy to give me that feedback. But don't assume everything your leader's asking you to do is a priority. Have that plan, take control of it, and check in with them. The next one is agreeing the priority of activities. It's going to help you with the juggle. So advocate for realistic timeframes and boundaries to prevent burnout, your burnout, and make sure that you can maintain the focus on the critical task. So you've got to step forward and have these conversations about what's realistic and what isn't. And then encourage delegation. Can you encourage the leader to delegate tasks effectively, trust team members to take a responsibility or ownership of those responsibilities? Be really specific. If you've got the leader who's diving into the minutiae all the time and you feel like they're kind of micromanaging you, just be specific. Ask what information they actually need to see from you to know that you're on track. And it's really, really okay to let your leader know that you work best this way. I would just say be generous on this one with your leader. And I say this all the time with people, is to be generous with the people you're working with as well. Maybe they work for a juggler too. Maybe some of these tips you're hearing, you can actually share with them and it might help all of you. Ah, the next one, the feedback phantom. We all need feedback. Feedback is essential for growth and development. And I talk about this all the time. We need to take a lot from professional athletes. We are athletes in a different arena, and we won't get better at our jobs in a vacuum of feedback. And some leaders are just notoriously elusive when it comes to providing feedback. It's kind of like, you feel sometimes like you're performing on stage and you're getting nothing from the audience, nothing at all. No idea whether you're nailing it or bombing it. So to navigate this challenge, initiate feedback. So actually take the initiative to solicit feedback directly from your leader. So set aside dedicated time for constructive conversations. Don't ambush them in the hallway. You're worth much more than that. If it doesn't work, if you've tried to set aside the time and it doesn't work, well, then ask some specific questions designed to get feedback. An example of that could be really simply, is there one thing you see me doing that I should do more of? Or is there anything you see me doing that isn't working for me and I should stop doing it or do less of it? I'd really love your thoughts on that. That's a pretty easy and obvious question to ask of someone, and you're going to get a response. How about seeking external feedback? So if you're not getting it from your own leader, can you get that feedback from peers and mentors so that you can get additional insights and perspectives on your performance? And then create these feedback opportunities. So you've got to create opportunities for ongoing feedback and build a culture of continuous improvement within the team. So as I said before, it's okay to schedule meetings with your leader and be open that you welcome feedback and that you'd be keen to get more. My hot tip on this is if you ask for the feedback, then please, please, please take it on board and demonstrate that you've done something with it and close the circle on that conversation. Let me take a brief pause from listening to the podcast for a minute just to check in and see if the conversation's inspiring any new thoughts or any new reflections for you. I hear so often from people in our audience, largely successful and senior professional women, how much they are craving some inspiration into their lives. I would just love to share with you, if you're looking for some, then come and sign up for our Sunday Inspiration email series. You can find a link in the show notes at the end of the show. Now let's get back to the podcast. I came across some research, CultureAmp State of the Manager report from 2023, and they share in there that managers aren't providing their direct reports with the development that they crave. A staggering 3 in 10 employees say that their manager doesn't show an interest in their career aspirations and therefore also doesn't help them understand what growth opportunities exist within the company. And it's the number one reason. So, I see this from a number of research sources. This is the number one reason that senior female leaders share behind feeling stuck in their career. We ran a survey with the Brave Feminine Leadership audience last year. And it's very simple. They can't see a pathway within their organization. So go and ask these questions of your leader. Go and ask them, what pathway do you see open for me in this organization? Initiate those. And our next leader archetype I want to talk about is the knowledge hoarder. This is where knowledge is power. So old school, like this irritates me whenever I see this, but some leaders are really reluctant to share it for fear of losing control. I just want to put a little aside in here right now. If as a leader, you don't share the information you have, then you're never going beyond that role. So if you can't train someone up, then, you know, you're not ready and free to take the next step. I always say to everyone, take on every job and find a way to make yourself redundant in that role. So, okay, it's old school leadership. This is like being on a treasure hunt where the map's locked away in a vault and only this leader holds the key to it. So when you're dealing with people like this, don't follow their lead. Stay really open, really collaborative. Offer to collaborate on projects. Share your own expertise to encourage knowledge sharing with the team. So if your leader's hoarding it, don't replicate that. Make sure you are doing the opposite. Advocate transparency. Be really specific about the skills and knowledge that you would like to gain and why. So what are the things that they haven't shared with you or taught you? Let's go and say to them that you really want to understand these things. Can they set some time aside to share it with you or show you? And if they're not the only person, you know, look around and find out who else might be able to share this knowledge with you. So just stay really transparent and open yourself. And as I said, lead by example. So really demonstrate the value of sharing knowledge for the collective success of the team. And then the last one, the reluctant departure delayer. This leader stays for so long that everyone else leaves, and it turns the workplace into a revolving door of talent. It's such a challenge, this one. We talk about really loving long-term loyalty and long-term employees, but in leadership roles, they can actually block opportunities for other people in the organization to develop. It's like being stuck in this never-ending loop where every departure is delayed. You know, you see this bank up until the leader decides to move on. So here's how to cope with this. I mean, firstly, invest in your own growth. So just focus on personal and professional development opportunities outside of your role and prepare yourself for advancement or transition when the time's right. Build yourself a strong support system of colleagues and mentors and industry contacts who can provide guidance, encouragement, and offer perspectives on future career pathways for you. The reality here is you may have to leave the organization that you work for, or you may have to go and lean on the network of those big relationships that you've built across the organization or outside of the organization and ask them where the opportunities you're looking for might be. And keep a really positive attitude and mindset and just stay open to as much learning and opportunities to grow as you can. I recently saw Andy Penn, the former Telstra CEO, speaking, and he shared that you should look for the projects that are closest to the core organizational priorities. This is a great place to learn and to connect with sponsors. Again, it's back to what I said earlier. Be really, really clear about the strategic priorities and how the organization actually creates value. Get yourself as close to those opportunities as you can. Do I stay or do I go? Well, this is the key question that so many leaders ask me in coaching sessions. And I've got to say, all too often I see people actually leaving without attempting to address the issue. I just don't think it's the way to do it. Go and have the conversations that you need to have. And only after you've done this should you consider if your skills and talents will be better aligned elsewhere. I always say this to people, sit down, genuine, honest conversation, and do you think that there is going to be a degree of change? Make your decision after you've done that. Sadly, many of these leaders just remain oblivious to the high turnover rates and disengagement amongst their teams. And often they'll call out other external factors like flexibility or money. And employees quietly slip away, seeking opportunities where their talents are appreciated and their contributions are valued. And this scenario reflects the sobering reality of many workplaces where disengagement and turnover are so high due to ineffective leadership. Another study I came across, which was Gallup's State of the Global Workplace report, again from 2023, and it shares that a staggering 77% of employees fall in the disengaged or actively disengaged category. So it serves as a reminder of the importance of effective leadership and creating a supportive work environment where employees feel valued and motivated to contribute. So, in conclusion, while you're working under a toxic leader and it can be really challenging, it's so critical to proactively manage these relationships and advocate for change. By building broader relationships, by setting boundaries, by fostering open communication, you can mitigate the negative impact of toxic leadership, and you can create a more positive and productive work environment for yourself and your team. So just remember that you have got the power to navigate these challenges and thrive despite them, and you've always got a choice. So if you're investing in yourself and you're continuing to grow, then you are marketable. So you always have a choice. So think about how you can use this when you're moving into a new role and a new company, and think about how you might be able to do your due diligence beforehand. You know, some of the good questions to ask that might see you go deeper and sort of sniff out what you're really walking into could be things like, how are decisions made around here? And you can watch people's faces and work out the answers to those questions. You know, how often do you meet with your direct reports to assess continuous improvement for them? And if it's anything longer than a month, then alarm bells should go off. So leaders should be at a minimum meeting with their teams to talk development monthly. I'd ask to see a standard agenda for their meetings. Like, what do you talk about? What do you discuss? What do you share? And then how long has the leader been in the role and their leader, and so on and so forth. And you'll have everything you need to assess that situation. So go and make every aspect of your job fabulous. Life is far too short. I would actually love to hear from you if you hear. You know, if you work for any of these leadership archetypes, or if you're listening to this podcast and you suspect that maybe you might be leading this way, and you want to find a role model or some help to show you another way. So fantastic to have you join me, and I wish you all the best. I hope your job is fabulous. And I hope that this gives you some tips if you're sitting in a situation where you are really genuinely feeling like your job would be fabulous without your leader. Have a brilliant day. And that was the end of another podcast conversation. So thank you so much for listening to the episode today. I often hear from leaders who felt inspired by the conversations and are ready to put themselves first. And so I wanted to take a brief moment just to share how I've helped hundreds of women, just like you, become crystal clear on the exact steps they should be following right now to lead an intentional and sustainable life without second guessing themselves, so that they can maximize their influence and impact. I've put some details into the show notes, and there's a link there where you can find out some more about our signature Elevate and Influence program. While you're there, take the time to sign up for our Sunday Inspiration email series. Have a brilliant day.